everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. You're supposed to say like hi or something. I feel like there's just nothing that comes after that.
How are you, Kimberly?
I'm doing okay.
How's your weekend?
It's not bad.
What did you do this weekend? Tell us about your life.
I'm in Orange County visiting my family because my cousin, whose name, ironically, guess what her name is?
Nikki?
No.
Pam?
No. Pam was last week.
Andrea?
No.
No, Pam's this week. We're just not covering Pam.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Pam, we decided not to cover. It was way too sad.
Who am I missing? What name am I missing?
Come on. What? You're going to get it.
Am I close? Okay.
Yeah.
Lily.
What? No.
Rebecca.
No. Was there a Rebecca?
Yeah. Amanda.
No. Who was Amanda?
You'll find out. You never know anyone's name. Who is it? What's the name? This is going on way too long. Who is it?
Sydney.
Oh, good Lord. Wow. I just went all around it. I went for the most difficult ones.
Yeah, you went on the circumference instead of right to the center.
Oh, brother. Everyone, this week we're not covering the Friday night episode. We're covering the Saturday night episode due to an executive last-minute decision.
By Katie.
By me.
Yeah. We thought it was too sad. The mom was too sad. We have another sad mom in this one, though, too.
We do, but
this
it wasn't.
This episode is like just as sad to me, but.
They're all sad these days.
Yeah. A Dateline is trying to kill us.
But we do have some interesting tidbits in this one that make it stand out a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like I should point out, though, none of this was race related. Now, people sometimes get mad at Dateline for not covering the crimes of African-American women who are murdered, and they fixate on the blonde white lady. And people were very excited that there was finally a black woman featured on Dateline. Not they were happy that she was murdered, but that a story like that was getting more attention.
A story is covered. Oh,
no. We did not decide to cover it due to anything race-related. It was just such a sad episode. And the mom with the gorgeous hair, oh, it just killed. It was so sad. And the brother.
Yeah. I think it was more that the mom was one of the main interviews. And we had had a mother who was a main interview last week. And so this is just doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was just, it would, except no gators.
No.
Just all sad. Please, everyone, watch that story because it's really interesting. But it's just, I think that people will understand why we covered this one when we get to the heart of it. Yeah, Pam did nothing wrong.
No, that's
the woman
so
who
sad.
Was murdered. No, she literally just had, she met up with a bad guy. We're talking about the episode, The Golden Child. She just
had
wrong
nothing
guy.
To do with the favorite son.
No, not a bit. Sadly. It was a weird name for that episode.
Yeah, it really shouldn't have been called that.
Also, because it didn't seem like the brother was the only other sibling we see is the brother.
Okay.
He's pretty active. He was like trying to find out what happened to her and.
So he's like, F you, Dateline. I'm the silver medal child.
I'm the silver boy. Yeah, I don't like that.
Was there a bronze?
Was there a bronze that we just don't see?
There might have been. I don't know. Yeah. It was rough, you guys. It was very sad.
Yeah, it was rough.
So
we tried.
We just can't do it. It was a Dennis. No. And so this one happened to be a Dennis. Dateline
it's just all Dennis all the time.
I was just going to say, all Dennis. Dateline now stands for Dennis's TV channel. I thought I could do an acronym there for some reason. That wasn't going to happen. Dennis tries enough, looks intelligent, needing excellence.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish.
He doesn't need excellence. He's not lacking in excellence. That's not the right phrase. Necessary excellence.
There we go. I like necessary excellence.
Never-ending excellence. Is that okay? Are you
That's
writing it down?
Good. Yeah, I'm going to try to work on it, but then I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going to be working on it while you're doing the recap.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Well,
so I'll have to work on it later.
While you are not listening to me, I'd like to say hi to Ian.
Hi, Ian.
He really wanted a shout out.
Oh, hi, Ian. Off the top. Hi, Ian.
You get a front row shout out.
A front row shout out. What's this episode called?
House on Sydney's Cove.
Oh, Sydney's? It's a possessive?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't it? Am I wrong?
Maybe. I doubt it. You're very rarely wrong. It would be shocking.
I'm glad you finally admit that.
No, I admit it all the time. No, you're right. It is possessive. Who's Sydney? Your cousin.
Sydney, my cousin, owns this town in Georgia, even though she lives in Minnesota. It was bequeathed to her by the city.
Oh, Like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Creek, not queek. Schitt's Creek. That's what I came up with today.
Wow. This is off. I'm tired. It's off to a great start. Okay. Yeah. So this is hosted by Dennis Can't Get Enough.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we start off. Oh, I don't know the dates. I don't forgot that part.
All right.
It's a repeat.
Let me help you.
Oh, season 24, episode 44, aired on May 8th, 2016.
There we go.
So this episode, we start with a search party. And you think, yay, how fun. Turns out it's a really sad search party. But I was still pretty excited because it's raining and they're all wearing matching shirts. I really was into that.
Yeah.
Now, also, the headquarters for the search party is in a Walmart parking lot, which is just perfect. You could, a killer could go into Walmart, get the kill kit, and then return a week later to help participate in the search.
To throw off the scent that they were the killer.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So this episode's about Nikki Lily. But then on the form for the missing person, it says Nikki. And then we find out her name is spelled N-I-Q-U-E. Which I've never seen before.
You know why?
Why?
Do you know what her full name is?
Unique.
Dominique.
Dominique.
So it is spelled with a Q-U-E at the end. So it is, regardless of you and your name spellings, I think you gotta forgive this one.
What is your sister's name?
Amy.
So you have named one kid Amy.
Is it Amy?
One kid Dominique.
Is it Amy, though? I might be off on the Amy. I feel like it's Amy, though. I wrote Amy at one point.
I don't know. The mom's name is Harriet, though.
Which is great.
And
which
I just got myself a title.
Oh, there we go.
Harriet the Spy.
That can't be your title. You can't give it right now. Well, why is it? Why would it be the spy?
I don't know, because she kind of was looking for things.
Well, why don't we do Harriet and the Spy? Because that makes more sense for later with the surveillance.
Oh, okay. I could do
you
that.
You were right there.
Yeah.
You're like... You're I'm there. Usually, you just need a push over the line.
I know.
You're right there all the time. Okay.
Monique. Yeah. It's spelled like Dominique. Monique, the actress. Monique. Yeah. That's okay.
So there's no Mo. It's Nique no Mo.
Nique no Mo was married and divorced twice. She then moved in with her sister, which Dennis thinks is hilarious and a sitcom. And I was trying to think, I think there was a sitcom in the 80s. About two sisters who live together.
Designing Women?
Something and Allie. No, they didn't live together on Designing Women.
They don't live in that house?
No, Dodo. Suzanne has her own house. Has you ever seen the show?
No, I know Suzanne has her own house, but Julia and Suzanne are the only two that are sisters.
Yeah.
Feels like they all live together as sisters in the office.
No, it's not Little Women. And then Beth dies, and we're all very sad. And the March family continues on.
What does Meg do in Little Women? Is Meg okay, or does Meg get sick?
No, Meg is fine.
Meg gets married?
Meg gets married to... Does she marry... Which one marries... Which one was Winona Ryder? Which one cuts her hair? Joe cuts her hair and sells it.
Joe's the main.
Gets sick and dies. Spoiler alert. Oh, Amy's the young one. And yes. Amy ends up marrying their best friend, Lori, who was their best friend across the street, who always loved Joe. But Joe ends up marrying a really boring, German guy, in my opinion. She should have married Christian Bale. And then...
Christian Bale is Lori.
Yeah. And then there's another one... The oldest one, who's kind of just there. She has babies. She has babies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what her other purpose is. So if you took a BuzzFeed quiz, which March sister are you? And you got Meg. I don't know what to say. I feel really bad. I don't probably want to be your friend because you sound boring.
That's not true. We definitely have some Megs that are friends with us.
No, Meg is like Anne Veal.
No, but Meg, you have to have Megs in your life because they counterbalance the Joes. You can't have a bunch of Joes running around with their hair on fire.
No, that's true. It'd be chaos.
It's a lot.
Which one am I?
I'm going to
You were trying to say Meg. You were going to say
no,
Meg.
No, I'm going to decline to state at this time.
This is like when my work husband Greg called me Anne.
I don't think you're Anne Veal, and I don't, nor do I think you're Meg, but I'm not going to say which one I think you are.
Beth? Amy, the spoiled one. the spoiled youngest one.
I didn't say it. You said it.
That's what you're thinking, though.
No, maybe. We will never know. I'm a mystery wrapped in an enigma. You won't know what I'm thinking.
You're Joe.
No, I'm definitely not Joe. I'm absolutely Beth. Let's get real. We'll be lucky if I've had another decade.
So sweet.
Oh, well, I'm pretty nice.
Yeah, I guess. You're pretty nice.
Kind of gross. It's like to a point where it's not great.
Yeah, that's true. To the point where it's killing you on the inside. Like it eventually kills Beth.
Like we'll get lucky.
You know, Beth got killed because she was giving food to a neighbor who was ill. And then she contracted the illness. That is something you would do with one of those cats you're trying to rescue. One of those cats is going to bring you down.
Mama in the garage?
With some disease. Yep.
Yeah, no. I keep trying to clean her eyes out. She doesn't like it.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens in this D-A-T-E-L-I-N-E? Now it's an acronym at the top of my page. So that's how it goes.
Nikki meets Matt. I see it. You don't have to show me. I know how Dateline's spelled. But thank you. She's so proud. It's on in all caps.
And I think the first D is debonair.
Debonair. What is A? Assassins. Intelligence.
Debonair assignments.
Where did I get T? Technology.
Ooh, technology is good.
Innovation. Now it sounds like an ad for a technology company. Technology. Innovation. Engineering. Debonair. Excitement.
Except debonair sounds like perfume. So yeah, that's a Dateline cologne. We just created it. It's done. Debonair. Dennis's Dateline cologne.
Yeah.
Smells like power ties and, I don't know, Florida swamp.
That's gross.
Swamp tie.
No. I think he uses Old Spice.
Yeah, he's definitely an Old Spice guy. But Old Spice has all sorts of flavors now. There's like Thunder Road, Wolverine. I don't even know what they are. No, I saw it the other day.
The original. Although Natalie Bannon says that our whole new Dennis, new year, new Dennis thing is false. Because when he came to her house to film a Dateline, like to watch a Dateline, there's a Dateline party. And they picked a listener and he went to her house. That he was very sassy even back then.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I think he's letting it show. Yeah. No, he's let down the veil a little bit. He's loosened the proverbial tie.
Yes. And remember when Josh told us on the Mank Files that Dennis is the one who reveals least about himself, his personality on the air. I think Dennis took that to heart and now he's showing himself.
But remember how surprised I was at the viewing that we went to a crime con last year with Dennis's attire?
Yeah.
Remember, he was in that cowboy shirt. I think he was in boots, too.
It was a peach cowboy shirt.
Yeah. And he was real smiley.
Very nice. He sat with the people.
He did.
Keith sat in a booth, very shy. Mank liked to go on stage and talk.
Yes.
Andrea was there on the side as well. And then Keith heckled Josh from the booth. And that was really funny. And Dennis was sitting in the middle of the fans.
Yes, like, he was smack dab in the middle. It was his episode. I'm the star.
And he sat with the people. He was like, I'm not separate. I'm one of you.
But he's not.
No, he's of course not.
No, he's Dennis Murphy. He's not. Yeah. Okay. So we have a search party. Everyone's in red.
Yeah. So Harriet's there. Divorced. Lives with her sister. Then she meets Matt online. They get married. They have more kids. So now she has like kids from a previous marriage and she has kids with Matt.
Kid from previous.
Okay.
Well, we see her a lot.
Oh, that
Alexis, right? The daughter.
Yes.
There's one daughter that we see all the time. Yes. Yeah. And she's interviewed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They lived in Georgia. She was the primary breadwinner. He did something with computers, like taking apart old computers and then making them new computers again.
Yeah.
But the way the sister made it sound was like he didn't really do much.
Yeah.
He maybe played a lot of Xbox and talked to a guy in Delaware. Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know. He seemed nice, though. Then
Matt, the husband, seemed nice?
To the family at first. He made her laugh, and they laughed. And then laughing is good. It makes endorphins, you know? Then the sister, who's interviewed a lot, the sister and her best friends, one day, the sister takes Nikki and Nikki's daughters to a spa day. I kind of thought a spa day was like, whatever. It's not important what I thought.
What do you think spa day?
I thought it was more extensive, like to go to the spa. I thought it was like you do a facial and a massage and all that.
That's like a fancy, like a, you're thinking like a Burke Williams, like one of those fancy day spas.
Yeah, something I could never afford, but that's just what I thought when people would say like we're going to a spa day. But I like calling it a spa day when you're just getting your nails and toenails done. That's fun. Because it still feels good.
I would just call that we went to get manicures. Exactly. I totally agree with you. Spa day to me seems like you're going to the front, you're paying someone at the front an entry fee, and you get to use certain saunas or whatever, and then you have to pay extra for services. So
I
for
think
a facial,
you're getting like
for a massage.
A Brazilian, I think you're going head to
toe.
Oh,
you're doing
the full thing. Like you come out feeling like a new woman.
We're going to do that sometime.
Someday we're going to be able to afford to do that.
Someday. Someday I'm going to get that for you for Hanukkah.
Like, spa day.
And I'm guess what? And I will have saved the whole year and I will have gotten you a spa day.
I
and
don't
we'll
think
talk
it'll be worth
it
because I will eventually bite the nail polish off my nails and the bottom of my feet will get all rough again because they're very dry.
No, but for a couple of days you will have had a facial and you'll have gotten a massage and you'll feel kind of fancy. It's just about feeling fancy. And even if you hate it, that's why it's the best gift because it's free. You didn't pay for it. I paid for it.
That's true.
It's the best gift.
I don't really like people touching me, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm scared about that. We'll do it together. It'll at least be a funny story.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, Nikki got her nails painted pink, and then Nikki went missing. They do a
why'd
search
they tell
party.
Us that? Why'd they tell us that?
You don't know why they told us that?
The pink nails? No. Oh, I missed it. Okay, keep going. Good. This is good. I don't know. I don't remember.
That brings us to the search party. They're all wearing red. Because they're trying to draw attention to them. So it's like 100 people wearing red shirts because the press wasn't really covering that she was missing because there's no body. They don't even know if she's missing. So they even have one guy chopping at the brush with like a machete. It was an intense search party.
Here's the question. When did the search party start? She was missing for 8 days total. So did search party start on like day four? When was she reported after 2 days she was reported? So I'm just wondering, I didn't know the timeline on that
I didn't
at all. Okay. There is also one person not wearing red who we'll get to in B-roll Bonanza. Did you spot him?
Did you not? I saw a couple people not wearing red and I was pissed. I was like, did you not get the memo? I mean, I don't really own a red shirt, but I would stop by a Target and
no,
get a
No, neither
red
did
shirt.
Harriet. Harriet didn't own one either. Harriet was really clearly wearing her husband's red polo.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, no, she just borrowed something from him.
That was
cute. I thought, I was like, no, because it was, I noticed because it was Lacoste. It had the little alligator, and I'm like, huh, she doesn't seem like a Lacoste, and I was like, oh, it's her husband's. That's funny.
Maybe. You don't know.
Yeah.
She could
I think
be
it
Lacoste.
Was. The size of it looked like it was.
She could be Aeropostale. I know they're different. I just like saying it. Harriet's mother is, well, so the one guy chopping with the machete made me a little nervous because what if he accidentally chopped a body in half? He's going nuts chopping at the brush.
He's not chopping high enough to, or low enough to chop a body.
I don't know. He didn't seem like a professional, so I was a little worried. A professional machete person. So Harriet, Nikki's mom, is passing out flyers. This is the by far, I can't. I don't know why Katie picked this episode. I wanted to kill myself. Okay.
Is it sad?
She's passing out flyers door to door, and someone tells her to get away or they're going to call the cops on her. Uh-huh. And they slam their window closed right in front of her face.
Great job, Georgia. What the heck?
And Dennis says Southern hospitality was in short supply that day. And then she's trying to talk to this other guy, and he's trying to, like, get away from the camera, and she's kind of, it's just really so sad. It's like when I see an old man eating by himself at a restaurant.
Stop it. Don't talk about that.
And
not,
it makes me want to cry.
Stop.
It makes me nauseous.
Stop talking about that. No, we're not going to talk about that. I'm really mad you brought it up. I spend most of my days trying not to think about stuff like that, so
but I
please
hope
don't bring that up.
That lady who slammed the window feels so bad right now. I hope she's watching. She knows what she did. And you know who it is? If you listen to our Patreon this week, she is Kathy, the juror, who wants to speak to the manager.
Yeah, it is.
She
probably
needs to speak to the manager.
But she's going to speak to the manager.
She will speak to that manager.
And if the manager's on break, she'll wait.
Yes.
But I do want to say this about the person that slammed their window. There is a quote that I had a quote book when I was a kid, and it was, "Be kind. Because
everyone you know has a harder journey.
Is fighting. It was actually everyone you know is fighting a battle. Like, it was something like that. And I was thinking, but also that goes with, we can't judge the person that slammed the window. You don't know what's going on with them that day.
Worse than her daughter being missing?
We don't know. Yeah, it could be. Maybe she just got a call that her brother committed suicide. See what I'm saying? I got you, though. That's bad. What if it was that?
Yeah,
what if it was? I'm saying we can't judge too harshly on the slamming of the window.
Kathy,
we don't know.
I'm trying really hard, Kathy.
But it might have been Kathy.
But let's
and
get
she
real.
Could have just, yeah.
No, you know why I know that's not the truth?
Hmm.
And I'll get to it in a couple minutes. I'll tell you exactly why that's not the truth, that her brother didn't commit suicide.
But also, we should explain to the folks at home that the odd part about the whole search party is that this is all on videotape. So this is all from whatever news footage they're doing. We have live actual footage. It's not a reenactment of the search that's high def.
Yeah.
It's kind of nuts. Like,
we see Kathy being a bitch in real life.
Yeah. And it's not just like, normally we just get like, you know, grainy footage or pictures or whatever. No, this is full on.
Yeah. They're trying to get the word out there. Nikki's coworker, Allison, she's involved in the search
party. Oh my God. You remember that the coworker's name, but you didn't write down the sister's name?
No, I don't know why. She's the sister.
Amy.
Okay. They are assigned one of the last unassigned. Allison is, I don't think she's dating. I think she's friends with this guy, Derek, at work, who I feel like is kind of the lazy guy at work, and she got saddled with picking him up. This is what I'm imagining the situation to be.
Who's like, Derek?
I'm paired with Derek, the coworker. Ugh, Derek, he's such a flake. Like, he never gets our coffee order right, but like, I'm paired with him to go to this search party. Because they're both 45 minutes late to the search party. And I'm going to blame it on Derek and not Allison, because I think Allison seems really responsible. I think Derek was maybe watching the Today Show, and like Zac Efron was being interviewed, and he really liked Zac Efron, and he started watching, and then it was a cooking segment, and it was Guy Fieri, and he's like, oh, I love Guy Fieri. And then he just held up the whole search party. So anyways, they're late.
I don't think it was Derek.
You think it was Amy's fault?
Yeah, I think Amy might be a little...
I mean Allison.
Allison, yes. I think Allison might be a little bit like me, and she's not great with the time management, and so she thinks, I'm just going to put this stuff in the dishwasher really quick. Wait, I got to run and do this really, really fast. But that thing that was really, really fast actually took her a half an hour.
Would you be late to a search party?
She was like, I don't think there are times on search parties. Was there like a drop dead? Everyone's here at 9 a.m.?
I don't know. Like, at a funeral, would you be late for a funeral?
Never.
See?
Ever.
Yeah, so I kind of think this is the same thing.
No late to funeral, no late to wedding.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But I once showed up 20 minutes early to a wedding, and I thought I was doing really great, and they literally were starting. They started early.
Well, that's stupid.
And I was so mad.
No,
and
that's...
I literally got out of my car, and I saw the groomsman standing ready to walk down the aisle. And he's like, hey, Kimberly. And I think I had my boot on at the time. For my ankle, he was helping me walk up. And I was like, aren't you supposed to be getting married? And he was helping me get up the hill with my boot on. And I was like, why has it happened? I thought I went early. But I think it was a weather thing. Like, maybe it was going to start raining. And so they were trying to beat the rain. But I can't have been the only one that was only 20 minutes early.
Really early, because you also don't want to be that early, because you're just standing around, and normally weddings are a little late. You want to just be like 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
You want to hit that sweet spot of like 5 to 8 minutes early.
Where you don't have to make uncomfortable chit-chat with people
for
while
a long
waiting.
Time.
Yes.
Right. You're going to have to do it a little bit.
And I already thought I was going to have to for 20 minutes. It turned out I was basically like a freak at the wedding because I showed up late and I'm walking with the groom. Like, he's helping me to a seat. And that's when people are seeing him for the first time. It was really weird.
Whose wedding was this?
Matt from the Troopies.
He should also definitely be late. He's an actor. That wedding should be late.
Yeah.
Weird. All right. Keep going.
So Nikki's coworker, Allison, and Derek are late. And that's important because all the other places to search have been assigned. except for a couple odd places that weren't high priority to search. So they give Allison and Derek one of these places that's not been assigned already because it's not that high priority. And they're walking and Allison sees this huge pile of leaves and she starts kicking it with her boot, the leaves, and she sees blonde hair and she screams and Derek runs over and helps her and they're like trying to get the leaves out. And then they're, yeah, it's not good. But on the plus side, I've very rarely seen a search party actually find a body.
Right.
Like I love them, but they're usually kind of useless. Sometimes they might find a shoe or something, but very rarely do they actually find anything of note, let alone a full-on body.
No.
That gave me re-upped my faith in the search party system.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sister calls 911, and Harriet, the mom, is crying, and she can barely stand, and it's so sad. And then we're interviewing Harriet, and Harriet's talking to a cop. She's talking to a cop before they found the body. Now, this is why I know that Kathy's brother did not commit suicide, because the cop is telling Harriet, you have to stop passing out these flyers because we've gotten a complaint. And we know that that was B-word Kathy who needed to speak to the manager. And she called the manager, a.k.a. the police, and said, this woman is passing out flyers for her missing daughter. And it's annoying me. Yeah. And if her brother had just committed suicide, she would be dealing with calling her relatives, stuff like that. She wouldn't have time to call 911 on the lady passing out flyers, would she? Unless she's like, I can't deal with my brother's death right now. I'm going to focus on harassing this poor old lady whose daughter is missing because it's the only thing I can control right now. And I'm Kathy and I'm a control freak.
No, you're right.
See? So I think it's just pure evil that Kathy possesses in her heart. Who calls the cops?
On someone distributing a flyer for their missing daughter.
No harassment. Literally, she's knocking on doors. If they're not home, she puts the flyer on the door and she walks away. Is that harassment? You're calling the cops. And this is a neighbor. This is all within like a mile of Nikki's house.
Which makes me think that sounds like a vendetta. That sounds like I don't like Harriet.
Do you think Kathy's the killer and she didn't like Nikki? And that's why she's like, get away from my house or I'm calling the cops. And then she calls the cops and she shuts herself in her house.
I got to think about this.
That when she heard that knock on the door, she thought it was the cops coming for her because she had just murdered Nikki. Instead, it's little old lady Harriet. And she's like, get away. Leave me alone.
I'm writing it down.
I didn't kill your daughter, I swear. And it's for something dumb, too. It's like Nikki let her shrubbery grow a little too unruly, and it bothered Kathy when she drove by.
You're asking for it.
That's what...
Shrubbery. Okay, that's it.
Is that Monty Python joke again?
Wand shrubbery.
At least I got it this time. You explained it to me.
I inserted two clips of it into the Patreon episode.
Will you insert I fart in your general direction?
Yeah, but you know that, but you don't remember Shrubbery from the Knights of Knee?
No.
The Knights of Knee is like the most famous part of that movie. That and like huge trucks of land. Huge trucks of land.
I don't think they're in the same movie.
Are you out of your mind? That's all Holy Grail. All of it.
What's the one and then where they're like, Kniggets.
Yeah.
I know that part.
It's all Holy Grail.
And then the part where they're like riding the fake horsey and making the noises. These parts more famous than this Shrubbery part.
The Knights Who Say Knee?
Knee.
What about Tim? Do you remember Tim? Some call me Tim. The bunny? The ferocious bunny?
No.
Everyone needs to back me up on this. I'm done. Everyone, I need backup. I need full listener backup that Kimberly has only seen parts of Holy Grail.
Can you quote Troop Beverly Hills?
Probably.
No. Not like I can.
No. But we're not talking about that. You didn't do a quote from Troop Beverly Hills. You said Shrubbery, which is one of the most famous parts of the Holy Grail.
I did get into an argument with someone at work the other day because they had never heard of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And they said, the writer? Oh. And then we were talking about it with somebody else. And I was like, they haven't heard of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. She's like, yes, I have. The director, right? I was like,
who's she thinking of? M. Night Shyamalan?
I have no idea. But
that's weird.
I said, if I've heard of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know he's big time basketball player. Because if I've heard of him, that's real.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay, press on.
Harriet is talking to this cop who's telling her that she can't pass out the flyers anymore because Kathy called the cops on her. And as they're discussing this, the radio of the cop goes off and it says a body has been found. And that's when Harriet finds out that they found the body. And Harriet is on the phone with her oldest daughter, Nikki's oldest daughter. And she's at the police tape and she's like, they won't let me go any further. They won't let me through. It's really sad.
It's really awful.
She's trying to get to the, it's horrible. It's so sad. And the daughters are running towards the crime scene and Harriet's trying to block them. Like, you can't go in there, baby. You can't go. It's rough.
And again, this is all on HD cameras.
It's not grainy. It's not home video.
No, this is like ABC News cameras. So, yeah.
Yeah. The police find the body. They uncover the body. It's nude and has pink painted toenails.
That's
why they mentioned it. Freshly painted toenails, as Dennis says. The body had been out there for several days. There's no visible cause of death. Dental records confirm that it is Nikki. The bottom of Nikki's feet are clean, and so they think she didn't walk out there by herself. She was placed there. But, like, why would she walk out there naked and then pull leaves on herself on a big pile?
I think it was also more like she wasn't chased out there. She was not running from someone, which is more what I thought. Like,
someone took her unconsciously there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a high level of date rape drug in her system. Mm-hmm. And semen. So they start looking at Matt, her husband, of course.
Now, they don't tell us where the semen's located, right? Sorry, I'm just asking.
I think it was inside her
body, they say that?
Her hoo-ha.
Because they said at one point semen on her.
Oh, maybe it was just like on her leg.
To me, makes like kind of a difference, right? Because I was trying to figure out, well, first of all, these are just, they're all awful, murder's bad, but the sexual assault cases are just really double that.
The police talk to Matt, the husband. He says she's run away many times, but only for hours, never for days like this. And he is a talker. The police say they can barely get a word in edgewise because he's giving them too much information.
Why are they on the phone?
That was weird, too. I couldn't tell if that's when he called and reported her missing or if that was the call when they call and say, she's dead, we need to talk to you.
No, they do that in person. They are absolutely not calling.
I figured they would do that in person. So then I thought that must have been when he called to report her missing.
They did not explain that, though. That would have been helpful because it was very confusing.
They maybe did, and we just missed it.
There we go. All right.
Let's blame us, not Dateline. So he says she's mentally imbalanced. She has a fear of intimacy. They were in therapy. She throws things at him in front of the kids. He cannot stop talking about how crazy his wife is. Not very concerned that she's missing, just that she's crazy and very calm. And Dennis says to the cop, he's telling you that she's bats.
Yes, he does.
So is that a common expression or is that a Dennis-y expression where he takes an expression and changes it slightly to make it more Dennis-y, but it
also makes it suitable for NBC
TV.
Family viewing. Yes.
Yeah, is that what he's doing? Or have you ever heard anyone else say that?
I have never heard it, and I love it. So
I do, too.
They're bats, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard baddie.
I've heard baddie, but bats is great, because baddie's sort of ditzy, right? Baddie
right.
is
yeah.
a lesser
yeah.
connotation. Bats is like, oh, no, they're bats. They're
you know
straight
what
out insane. Yeah.
I love is I heard someone go, oh, she's crackers.
Oh, crackers.
And I loved, I just thought that, I loved that so much.
What about quackers? She's quackers. Would that be cute or would that be dumb?
That's dumb. But you could use this opportunity to do your Donald Duck impression again if you wanted to.
No, I don't want to overdo it.
Okay.
I'll let it.
Save it. You got to sprinkle it out for the people.
My dad would never do it. Never do it. We'd have to beg him. And then you'd hear it from like across the room and he'd do it for a second.
And
his
was brilliant.
So good. It was
Why
so
wouldn't he do
clear.
It?
No, because he didn't want to he didn't want to spread it out. So he would do it like once every few years. He would never do it.
And then it was so exciting when he did it.
And then he would do it. And it was really funny.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So Mike and Nikki had gone for a date that night, the night before she went missing. And they came back and he wanted to have sexy time. And he wanted her to put, he's telling the cops this, he wanted her to put on a little outfit and have sexy time. And that's when she snapped, according to him. There's so many things that are weird about this story. Here's where it gets really weird. Matt's father was visiting them in from out of town.
Why'd they go on a date?
Presumably for no more than a few days, right? Maybe five at the most. You go out on a date and leave the father, and then you want to come home and have full-on outfits, role-play sex with your father right next door in the bedroom, like two doors down.
No, here's the deal. They had a huge house, number one. That house was huge.
It was pretty big.
But also, we're thinking about this all wrong. I think it's because you and I don't have kids. If your dad comes into town, it is a prime opportunity to go on a date because you don't even have to have a time limit. Dad'll just be there. So
I wasn't bothered by the dating thing. I was bothered by the sex thing.
The sexy time thing.
Because I was like, you can't wait a couple days. He's going to be gone.
But they didn't say that he was in the room next door. I think the master's
probably...
No, they
said down the hall.
Down the hall, though, right. They're not going to, like... I mean, there's a difference between having sexy time. They don't have to be loud.
I guess. It's just odd to me. It's like when that family had the family portrait right above the bed, right above the headboard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the family and the sexy time should be combined at all. Let's keep them separate.
Yeah, that's a little... Well, maybe they do it a lot in the shower. Some people like that. They do it in the shower
because they
lot.
Have kids to get away from
Because
the
they
kids.
Have kids, so it's... Doors closed, water's on.
That seems just really dangerous. Like a lot of slipping and falling. So for some reason, that makes zero sense in the fighting. So we're back to the fighting. Mm-hmm. The sexy time has turned into this fight. Mm-hmm. The dad is down the hall, the father-in-law. So for some reason that makes no sense to me, Matt calls his father into the bedroom.
Oh, no, they tell why.
He says he wants to, it sounds like he's instigating the fight by being and my dad is not comfortable here.
No, she instigated. He said that she picked the fight because when he asked her to put on the sexy outfit or whatever, she got insecure or something, so picked a fight, right? And then he said that the fight, like, sort of rolled into other things and said, you're not treating my dad well, while he's here on his visit, you're being crazy and not treating him right.
Right.
He feels really uncomfortable. And then, brings in his dad to back him up, which is
not... To say, it's so weird. Don't you feel uncomfortable? Isn't she making you feel uncomfortable and hasn't been warm to her?
That's
and he
weird.
Says, yeah, I guess. And she's like, no, you're lying. You're all lying. Like, she's kind of screaming and stuff. But, it's just, come, let's bring my dad into the fight. It's just, it's all weird. Anyways, it gets weirder. Mm-hmm. So it gets so much weirder. So Matt says that Nikki flips out and we have flashes of another episode that we did during our 8 nights of Hannah, Katie, and Kimberly, Mystery and Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Nikki apparently rips her shirt off with her boobies hanging out with no bra. And says, maybe we should just F in front of the father-in-law, throws her shirt on the floor and says, isn't that what family does in front of the father-in-law and the husband?
So that's
now,
just
later, the father-in-law kind of backs up this story.
Kind of backs up the
story? I mean,
story?
He does back up the story on the stand, right?
Full on tells the story. And is very believable. No reason not to believe him whatsoever.
Okay, so then we think Nikki fully did this.
Yeah, I did. I fully think that she did. And I think it's a little... No, I think it's a lot bats.
I think, but some of her bats will become attributed to other things. Or that's kind of the spin Dateline producer was tweeting. I'll get to it more about... like if you're being emotionally abused, how that can kind of wreak havoc on your sanity.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, also that I don't want to speculate too much, but something about isn't that what family does made me super uncomfortable and made me think there was some sort of like abuse in her childhood.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume, but
no,
Matt is to be believed, and I don't think Matt is to be believed about everything, but he did really stress that she had a lot of intimacy issues about men. He said very specifically she was super uncomfortable around men touching her or anything, but with women she was fine. And
correct.
Then she says, if that's true, and then she says, isn't that what family does? It almost makes me think she's like being super sarcastic because something happened to her when she was a kid, like by a member of the family. Does that feel like reaching?
No, it doesn't. I think it's possible. It was a very odd, that's a weird comment. The family thing is, it's either just so out of left field because her mind is shot. And so she's just being controversial and shocking.
Yeah. Or she has like PTSD.
Or there's things, or it's also a punch at Matt. Of like, you know this happened to me.
You know what happened to me.
So, right.
That makes sense.
Could be that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just playing both sides. Because we don't know who to believe. Because
no.
We only have one person that's still here.
Correct.
Although we have recordings of both of them. Which we'll get to.
Yes.
The next morning, Matt wakes up and realizes Nikki's not there. But her purse is there. Her car is there. And the camera system that surrounds the house is turned off. And he said she turns the cameras off when she's mad at him to piss him off because he is super obsessed with these cameras. Dennis says it's like Fort Knox. They have 21 security cameras and a control room where they can watch. Well, not they, where Matt can watch all of them. And it's the weird part. There's many weird things. A, this is a low crime area. It's not like they have to constantly be worried about crime.
Mm-hmm.
B, the cameras are surrounding every inch of the exterior, but also the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Like cameras facing the family watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's crackers.
I know
not
why.
In a fun way.
I know why.
Oh, because it's outside info?
Mm-hmm.
Is it what Matt says is outside info?
It's what a couple of people say. It'll make more sense to you, but I'm going to wait to the end.
Okay.
And I'll tell you. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Matt lawyers up right away. All of Nikki's family says she wasn't crazy at all. She was normal. It was Matt that was crazy, and they're all suspicious of her. Mm-hmm. And Nikki's oldest daughter suspected her stepdad as well.
Mm-hmm.
The semen on her or in her is his. And the footage that they can retrieve shows her smoking on the patio, and then the footage stops. It's all corrupted.
So this goes to my question that I wrote down like 5 minutes ago. We've got that fight then. We have the audio and maybe some visual from that actual fight.
Well, we don't because it's scrubbed.
No. If we have her smoking a cigarette at 12:30, why wouldn't we have the fight? That happens earlier that night.
Because the audio was different than the video. So that's just a video camera. And the audio, at one point, Matt says that they recorded them fighting because the therapist told them to record themselves fighting, I think.
If it's on all the time, why wouldn't we have the fight? If it's corrupted from her going to smoke a cigarette at 12:30 on... Why wouldn't we have anything from the fight earlier in the night?
Well, that's just one camera. I mean, you can corrupt different files.
You think, that's my question, you think that it was, he corrupted the fight? Or the fight was corrupted?
Yes. Yeah, because the files, when we get to the files, the audio files have all been corrupted and they've had a wipe program run on them.
No.
And they were run the day she went missing.
So the whole day that she went.
Yeah. So probably the fight.
Do you see what I'm asking, though? Why would we have something from after the fight and not the actual fight?
Well,
the Dateline said that it was the last thing we have of her is video of her going outside to smoke a cigarette at 12:30. So that's my question, is why don't we then, if that's...
Well, maybe he specifically just deleted certain things.
Does this seem odd? Why would the fight be deleted? Because that shows her at the most bats.
Yeah, that's true. Because maybe it didn't happen like that. But
I'm wondering if we have that fight and we just don't talk about it.
And knocked her out during the fight and the dad is covering for him.
Why don't you just agree with me once?
But
it's weird. It's weird that Dateline says it's the last footage we see is her going out to smoke, but somehow we don't ever hear about footage of that fight or sound of that fight.
And we're assuming the fight was before midnight.
Definitely.
Because they got home from dinner.
Yes, and started fighting. And then she goes out to smoke a cigarette because that's what you do when you're mad.
Gotcha. I don't know. I mean, Matt could have wanted to leave an image of her alive as the last thing. So it looked like she might have walked out by herself and then took out the fight because his part of the fight was a lot more aggressive than he's making it sound. It could have gotten physical. The dad could have seen some things, but is lying to cover up for his son.
Okay.
Parents do that all the time. It is odd for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think of a reason why it makes sense. It's like when people delete texts, they might only delete the certain incriminating texts. But
yeah,
so I'm guessing there's something very incriminating about the fight.
I'm just wondering if it's there and we just never get to hear about it. I think it's probably there. We just don't get to hear about it.
I don't know. I feel like they would have played it then and not just given us Matt's rendition of what happened.
Yeah.
Because all we have is Matt's word for
it. Or maybe something is, huh? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Because that tech guy seemed pretty on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of corruption on the files. I don't know.
Okay.
And theories. Does anyone have theories? Let us know. She's puzzled.
I think
it didn't bother me. I didn't really notice that issue, but now I see.
No,
that
I just would like. I would just like to hear it. If it's there, I would have liked to have heard it. And
absolutely.
So I'm wondering also if Dateline only got certain access to certain recordings. They may have only sent snippets.
But that's the juicy one. That's the one you want.
Right. So maybe it was also in an area that wasn't able to be recorded, but it seems like the cameras were everywhere.
Everywhere, even in the bedroom.
Correct.
Yeah. Matt leaves town. He takes his two daughters with Nikki, the youngest ones.
Mm-hmm.
The case goes cold. A new detective takes the case. He has an IT guy look at it. And then he says he's the one who figures out that someone had deleted a bunch of files and then wiped them clean twice. Once the day she's reported missing and once the day her body was found.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no other person would do that besides Matt or maybe one of the daughters. It's someone in the house. It's the house footage that was wiped the day she went missing and the day she was found. The IT guy recovers thousands of audio files, though. Thousands. And it's just
500,000.
Thousands. Is insane.
500,000.
500,000, 26,600 minutes. 525,600 minutes. 1,000 moments of boobs and no bra.
Aww.
I know.
Every time I think of that song, I think of the Michael Scott version, though. Every single time.
I know. And you know he didn't know that they were going to do that.
I know. So I loved it.
His tears are real.
It is so, that is, I watch it sometimes when I'm feeling melancholy because it is like the sweetest. It's so, so sweet.
Yeah, it is. Text or email or call. Yeah. I wish they had said, or woof.
Oh.
Would that have been good?
Woof. Yeah, that would have been great. It was my favorite thing.
So all of the recordings are Nikki and Matt fighting, screaming at each other. It's like War of the Roses / Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's one of these toxic couples like that just you would never want to be around them if you heard the things they were saying to each other. It's just this tension the stress level, it gave me so much anxiety to it.
Yeah.
And it takes the cop a year and a half to listen to all the recordings. And it, part of that, because they were so long, but he said it took him, like, sometimes he just had to turn it off.
Yeah.
Because it was just so upsetting hearing these people screaming at each other. And the more he listens to it, he thinks that Nikki was being emotionally abused, controlled by Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this, like, force, this grip on her that was super unhealthy and toxic. They arrest Matt. He comes back to town to get Nikki's life insurance policy situated, and they are able to arrest him. And he's charged with murder, sexual assault, and eavesdropping.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take it away, Katie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Katie.
Okay, so you already got what he was arrested for? Okay, so after Matt's arrested, his two daughters, Amanda and Rebecca are their names, they post video to YouTube in defense of the dad. We see some snippets. I was going to watch it, but then I found other interesting outside information, so I didn't. But it's out there in the world. They say that Nikki hated her side of the family. So Harriet, all the sister, all the people we're seeing. But obviously the other side of the family, Nikki's side, hates Matt and has hated him for a really long time.
And like her side of the family says nothing about animosity between them. They went to that spa day.
No.
And they were very close.
No, they don't talk about it. So I don't know. There's something off, but it's sort of he said, she said, they said, we said. Nobody knows exactly. So the trial begins, and the prosecutor basically paints Matt as a couch potato. They say that Nikki was the breadwinner, and they were $300,000 in debt because he didn't really work. I don't know.
And that equipment is expensive.
He has a lot. He has like an equipment room where there's all of these, I don't know what to call it. It's that servers, what it looks like. It's all of those big, like, high cupboards with the electronics in it. And like a thing of cords that it was the most cords I've ever seen in my life. It was so many cords. I don't know. It was weird. So something of his own accord. I'm going to write that down. Own accord. All right, don't forget. Okay. So the prosecutor also says he turned the house basically into North Korea. There were cameras trained on them everywhere.
I love that phrasing.
Yeah. And that killing Nikki was his final act of control. She thinks the way it went down is that he drugged her, had his way with her, and then ultimately killed her when she was trying to fight back. So the problem we have with that is that she had GHB in her system. She would not have fought back.
She could have woken up at some point.
Don't think that's the way that drug works.
I mean, it's definitely not likely.
Because the way that she was doing the timeline is that, I mean, you get sort of progressively more drowsed. Like, you get more and more out of it.
Right.
And
so you're saying he killed her for no reason because she wasn't fighting back.
Just, I think that timeline is wrong.
Ah.
That seems wrong to me. And she thinks that what happened is that Nikki said she was leaving him and he snapped and strangled her.
I've seen it many times.
But she also, to play devil's advocate, did tell him she was leaving him on a regular basis.
Right. There must have been something different about that night, about that declaration.
The other problem is we don't know her cause of death, which is
There's nothing. There's not neck, like, bones breaking.
Correct.
There's nothing. We
aren't sure how she died.
The autopsy says nothing.
No, I don't think so.
That's kind of very strange.
It's very strange. So I think we'll come back to that. So the first person to take the stand in the prosecution is her daughter from the first marriage or from her previous marriage.
Yeah.
And she says that he would often lock her in a bathroom, lock her in a room, maybe pushed her down the stairs, but we're not sure. There's some pictures that float around of her with cuts and bruises that are out there in the world, but those have also been refuted that she also fell off a Segway. But there are some issues. So I'm unsure how that happened. Then the sister Amy takes the stand. I think it's Amy. I hope her name is Amy. And she says that he not only did cameras in the house, but he put trackers on her phone. So that's not great. The tracking on the phone is real control-y. That's bad. So then they start playing the recordings. And the first recording we hear is her saying, "Let the record show I'm being locked in a room again." And then he says, "Let the record show she's being a real bleep." I mean, but it's interesting because she's very aware that she's being recorded.
Yeah.
So she says that, and I thought that was interesting. And then there's another argument that they have about sex. I think a lot of the arguments were about sex, according mm-hmm. to the prosecution. And she says, "You go 2 days without sex and you think that I'm in strike mode," which I thought was really weird. Strike mode. I feel like that's her striking against sex, like with a picket, like, "I'm not having sex with you."
Correct.
So she must have there must be something that happened in their therapy where she withholds sex from him for some reason. And that's called strike. That's called her going on strike. That's what I got from that. So that's common. Where,
that's
like,
very
you're
common.
Mad at someone and then you're I like, well, I'm not going to sleep with you.
2 days was...
2 days in a normal marriage
impressive.
Is...
Impressive. I was like, wow.
What, that they can go that long without having sex?
No, the opposite. That they're having sex every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Married that with was, kids, they're having,
well,
and they're
like,
they're in their middle aged. They're not like 20-year-olds, and they're having sex like every 2 days. That's impressive.
No, I think they're having sex every day, and so this is why she says you go without sex for 2 days, and you automatically assume I'm in strike mode, and then she says, "Don't touch me," and he's like reaching out, and he's like, "I'm just reaching out. I'm trying to reach out to you," and she's like, "I don't want to hold your hand right now." So that's kind of weird. It's some parts of these conversations, you definitely, this sounds like normal stuff. So I would like to hear the really emotionally abusive stuff. That's the problem, is we don't really get to hear that kind of stuff.
If she's literally being locked into a room, and
yeah,
that's true.
That's horrible.
That's effed up.
No, exactly. Yes. So then the next one is about him having his hands around her throat. She says, "Your hands were around my throat." And he says, "No, they weren't. No, they weren't." And she says, "Yes, they were. Your hands were around my throat." It's very pointed that he was trying to hurt her. And
their
so,
fights have gotten physical, yeah.
Right. So then we go into a police call, a 911 call that was made 12 days before she went missing.
Mm.
The 911 call recording is, and she doesn't sound in distress. She sounds upset. She sounds angry. She says, "My husband won't let me leave the room." And so I don't know exactly what happened, but the police came out and she's on the front porch. We have images of her from the security camera on the front porch with a big suitcase next to her, but then she won't leave. And there's something weird about that. She doesn't want to leave the girls behind, but he won't mm-hmm. let her take the girls. Is that, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. It's,
I think that's what's happening.
So it's a nasty...
Or she's the breadwinner. She paid for that house. Like, he should get kicked out.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what happened in that fight, but it was bad enough for the police to come out. And then the prosecutor's last witness is going to be the police IT guy. Mm-hmm. And he says that someone had to have manually deleted or corrupted those files and nothing else was corrupted. That's why I'm asking about that one video,
mm-hmm.
because nothing else, it's hours and hours and hours. Nothing else was deleted except those days, mm-hmm. which is very, very strange.
Right.
And then she closes her argument with an audio recording of Nikki saying, "Welcome to my world. You killed me a long time ago."
Ugh.
And it's very effective. And that's very, very effective and very mm-hmm. smart of her, mm-hmm. of her to do that. So then now we're at defense time. So the defense attorney opens with a who, what, why, when, and where. And those are these are the basis of journalistic questions, right?
Thanks, dude.
And so I know it's sort of cliche. I feel kind of bad for him. And I think
I wish
maybe...
he had gone. Webster's Dictionary defines a murder as.
I also feel like he's kind of used that before. I think he might use it in multiple cases. Yeah, so, I don't know.
He's like, oh, a different jury. They haven't heard this one. Mm-hmm. I can do
but
it.
But the prosecutor's then, super annoyed because she hears this like, all the time.
Oh, my God. It's Mr. Who, What, Where, When, How guy. Oh, boy. God, and they all talk about him in the break room.
Yeah. Kind of like, hey,
and then he comes in and they're like, John, how was your day? And
yeah,
they're
they
like,
are.
Uh-huh. Where did you eat at lunch? And he has no clue what they're doing. And they're all like snickering behind their back.
They could definitely be that. So the defense says that most of these recordings are from 2008, 2009. So it's a full 2 years before. Most of those bad recordings are from that time period. So it's 2 years before.
But the police call was from 12 days before.
Correct.
Okay.
But I do think that's an effective argument because he talks a lot about the recordings in a way that you're only being shown these one snippets. And I sort of went searching for others. I wanted to see if I could find longer stretches of the recording so I could hear the full argument.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to get a sense from these shorter clips.
I just think if their fights had gotten violent, and that's true, even if it was 2 years ago, he could easily do it again if he snapped. Like, maybe he controlled his anger for a couple of years, he snapped again. I think once you're kind of physically abusive to women, it's a pattern that doesn't just go away.
I'm sorry, but we have no proof that he was physically abusive at all.
Right, just I'm saying if it's true that he put his hands around her throat.
Yes. But then they're also saying you're not hearing the good stuff, which is they got their marriage vows renewed in Hawaii in 2010. Mm-hmm. So the year before. Like, it's not, it's, you're hearing these certain...
You're hearing both sides. And then you go, well, it's abused women stay with husbands and probably get their marriages, you know, renewed all the time, even though they're being abused or whatever. Yeah, I see what you're saying. There's good points on the prosecution. I mean, the defense.
And they're also saying that in 2008, 2009, most of those recordings were at the encouragement of their marriage counselor. That's what you were talking about earlier. That's what they wanted. And Matt says that Nikki always shut off the system when she was mad. So, but that's also then why don't, I wish we could have had more stuff from the IT guy about other parts. Were there other parts missing? Do you see in the pattern that there are shutdowns at different points when the recordings were turned off? Do we see?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So I'm just curious if they could tell that from the
right, or if she shut it down when they got home from dinner because she was angry, and then he turned it back on.
Right.
And then he killed her and turned it back off again.
Yeah. So Matt's father, whose name is Matthias.
Matthias? Is that a biblical name?
So is that a Latin term for Matt? Is that what, is Matt Matthias Jr.? Matthias Jr.?
Matthias, I think. Is it Math? Is that Greek? What is that?
I don't know.
Matthew is biblical.
But so
maybe
is
Matthias.
But is Matthias. Matt short for
Matthias?
Matthias? Is Matt short for Matthias?
It must be. He must be. So they have a very close bond, the dad and the...
But isn't that funny?
A sexual bond with his wife. Weird.
He does not have a sexual bond.
We don't know what's happening.
We do know. So he's called to the stand, confirms the story of her stripping.
Yeah. And he felt like he was very believable.
And says, yeah, I did. Totally believable. And he says, because he seems uncomfortable to talk about it. And he says, and then she said, let's F like a family. And he also got it slightly wrong, which made it more believable because he doesn't remember exactly what she said, which according to Matt earlier was, isn't this what families do? He got it a little bit wrong. And I was like, okay, so that's the way it happened in his head.
Gotcha.
So after that incident, apparently Matt looks into having her committed. He wanted to have her forcibly put away and hires a divorce attorney.
Oh, he hired a divorce attorney.
Correct. He actually filed for divorce. I'll give you a little outside information. He filed for divorce 2 days after she went missing.
What?
Yes. He filed for divorce 2 days after she went missing.
That is insane. and makes no sense. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
So the defense has said, why would he do that if he killed her?
Why would he do that if he didn't kill her and she's gone missing?
Because I think he thought she ran away. Yeah, it sort of messes with you, doesn't it?
With the daughters? So
then the defense's last two witnesses are Amanda and Rebecca with the good hair. And the man...
Rebecca did have pretty hair. Yeah, she the one with the curly hair?
Yeah, that was Rebecca. That's why gorgeous. I loved it. I was like, Becky with the good hair.
You know, that reminded me of Rebecca, what's her name, the Noxzema girl and from 90210. She's married Gayheart. To Eric Dane. Yeah.
Not married to Eric Dane anymore. They got a divorce.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yeah. Is that sad?
It's very sad.
Yeah, it's not good. Anyways, Becky with the good hair says that she used to throw stuff at her dad. She threw a high heel one time, and she actually had to duck out of
that
the way.
That made me laugh so hard because of 90 Day Fiancé with Jesse cutting the steak on the bias and what's her face with the tight face. She threw a Louboutin at him, and he's like, if it had hit me in the eye, I would no longer be here. I wouldn't be standing here. And he wants to call the police. He's like 6'5", and she's literally like 4'11", and she threw a shoe at him, and he's like calling the police, saying it's physical domestic violence, and he was scared for his life.
Correct. It's terrifying.
It's hilarious.
It's a terrifying moment. I'm just kidding. I know, it's really bad. So then also the other daughter, Amanda, says that on the day that 911 call happened, she was pacing around. She was pacing back and forth, and she was saying she was really tired of people talking behind her back. And Amanda asked her what she meant, and she said, she's hearing voices in her head that are telling her that people are talking behind her back.
Mm.
So I think that might be a little bit exaggerated, because I think that, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I do think that maybe this could be a situation where she was saying, I feel like people are talking behind my back, right? Mm-hmm. There are things that are telling me, my sixth sense is telling me that people are talking about me.
I can practically hear them in my head.
Right. Like something like that. And so then the defense
like closed. There's a little voice inside my head. And then you go, what? You're hearing voices?
Right.
Like that's literally not what I said.
So the base, what did you say?
I'm saying that I'm saying the same thing you're saying. Okay. It's like an expression. It's not like I'm literally hearing voices when I say the voice inside my head says this.
No,
I'm not literally hearing voices.
She's trying to make it work for defending her dad. And so the closing defense goes back to the basic journalism questions. Who, what, why, when, where has not been answered sufficiently by the prosecution. So you must acquit. And so I was wondering if we could answer those questions. Who, what, why, when, and where. But we'll have to go. We'll do it after, because I'm almost done with the recap.
Okay.
I'll finish the episode. So the jury took 3.5 hours to deliberate, and he was guilty on malice murder. He says, I didn't do it, in his defense, and is sentenced to life in prison. He actually didn't say that. I read like 5 articles where he said something else, and I thought that was really weird. And I was like, why? What? Why do we only see that? But everything else says that he said, I'm innocent. I'm going to appeal. Huh. Isn't that weird? I know. Yeah. I thought that was weird. So Rebecca and Amanda leave forever. These are his two daughters. They don't want to repair the relationship with that side of the family.
Oh,
they don't care.
That's so sad.
And then we close out the episode really quick. It's like a very abrupt end.
Yeah.
Dennis says, one murder, so many victims. And that's it. Like, that's the end. It doesn't, there's no drag out. There's no somebody walking beside a pond. There's no Harriet.
No.
They ran out of time.
No, they're like, bye, Harriet.
Yeah. Sorry, Harriet. You don't get the closing word.
And even Lester was abrupt. He's like, I'm Lester Holt. This has been Dateline. Bye. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, it was over.
Yeah. Something happened in editing. They ran out of time. ran out of time.
You're trying to squeeze it in.
So do you have... So let me give you my outside info, and then we're going to try to answer those questions.
Great.
Okay. So my outside info was that he'd filed for divorce 2 days after she went missing.
Yeah, that's...
There were 2 separate funerals because the family could not do it together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like attorneys were involved.
Oh my gosh.
So the 21 cameras were installed to capture the fights.
By him.
Correct. He installed the cameras for proof that she was going crazy. That it was one of the reasons the interior cameras were installed. That was the reason. Yeah.
This is so toxic.
It's real rough. The one thing that I am really going to try to find is, oh, there's a really interesting thing on NBC.com, which maybe you can find and put up for Patreon. They do have him from prison talking to the oldest daughter, talking to Amanda. And she's talking about some sort of interview that she was going to do, and he's giving her directions. And I can't figure out if she's saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. I can't figure it out. She's either saying, yes, sir, or got it. She's muffled, but I need you to hear it so you can tell me what she's saying. I will watch
it because they posted it on Dateline. On Twitter.
Oh, they did. Okay. Because it's really hard to hear what she's saying. I'll try. I didn't turn on the closed caption. If she calls him sir, that's it.
It's it. I'm done.
It's done. Yeah.
I've already felt like they were Stepford daughters and he had totally brainwashed them. Just watching the YouTube video, like, it's really weird.
Did you watch the whole YouTube video?
No, just parts of it. But I had seen this episode before, so I remember when it happened. I remember when it originally happened, I think, and the YouTube video went out.
So I really want to watch the 2020. I think there's a 2020 on this one.
Maybe I watch that one too.
And I really want to see that because in the trial, apparently the ex-wife takes the stand. His ex-wife.
Ooh.
Takes the stand. Oh, no. It's so good. And I have to find it because she kept saying, he has beautiful eyes. He has beautiful eyes talking about Matt.
Oh, my God. He has bug crazy eyes.
And everyone thought she was flirting with him from the stand. We have got to find it.
That's because everyone on Twitter said how creepy his eyes are.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, but they're bulbous.
We got to find it. We got to find it.
Do you think he's that big of a controlling person that she's like a Stepford wife and still trying to get in his good graces?
No.
Even after they're married.
No, because she kind of messed him up a little bit. She said that he used to like it rough, and so he would pin her down. She's like, I'm not very big, so he could pin me down or whatever, but that doesn't look good for him. No, she messed it up. But is that not crazy that she? I've got to see if she was flirting with him. I'm dying to find out.
Wow.
Dying.
And we never heard from Nikki's first two husbands.
No. I would like to hear that, too. Not that it matters in this case, because this is a case of, so if you're going through the who, what, where, when, and why, the who else could it have been?
Right.
Besides Kathy.
I mean, hang on, let me stretch my leg, because Kathy makes me really upset.
Why don't you turn on a light in that room so you're not like Darth Vader?
No, I like being like Darth Vader.
I don't like it. I can't
Katie,
see you.
Katie, I am you your friend. Aw.
Friender.
That shit.
I am your friender.
That's funny to you?
Instead of father.
Katie, I am no longer your friend.
Aww.
Because of that joke that you just made. Kathy could fully be the murderer. I'm not going to throw it completely out the window.
What about, I'm surprised you haven't gone for your normal.
One of the daughters?
Right. Which I normally cut out of episodes, but.
Well, what if he was convincing one of the daughters to do it? And one of the daughters is actually a sociopath and, like, turned off the cameras, killed their mom to make their dad happy. Because she was causing so many problems and she was going to leave anyways.
So your dad is bad no matter what?
1,000%.
Got it.
Okay. I do not at all.
You donut?
I donut. Believe I'm low carb. I just think about donuts all the time.
Yeah.
I did not think Matt is a good guy. I don't believe that he was a good guy that was putting up cameras to document that she was crazy. I think there was a whole lot of other stuff going on and some really manipulative, emotionally abusive behavior going on, maybe from both of them. I think together, both of them were extremely toxic.
I think you're looking at the thing where it's like when your relationship gets to the point where if you are putting up cameras to catch proof if someone's crazy, it's over.
Yeah.
It's time to sign the papers.
Yeah. But I think he thought maybe he wouldn't get custody of the girls unless he proved that.
Well, he wouldn't because he wasn't the breadwinner, right?
Right.
So
but
why?
But if she was crazy, maybe he could.
And there's a life insurance policy. So your why
of course,
is definitely
and there's so much
custody
in debt.
Of the daughters. And right. Then the next question is, so when did he do it? Would be after she smoked her cigarette at 12:30.
Yeah. And I don't believe he woke up at 6 a.m. and she was gone.
I don't
understand. So it happened before then.
But we have a big question mark on how.
Yeah, that's weird. Because usually even suffocation, that there's there's proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is weird. Unless he OD'd her on, can you OD on date rape drug?
Well, I feel like they would have found that in the system, right? In the toxicity report?
That it was like a lethal amount?
Yeah.
They said it was a huge amount.
Does it seem strange to you, though? There's a few things that seem strange. Obviously, the divorce papers sound really strange because that would be something that unless he's just unbelievably clever, he would have just reached his breaking point because he would have had this horrible fight with her where she flashed his father and then goes off because she's mad that I'm playing like if he didn't do it.
Right, right.
That she goes off and he's mad and he's like, no, I'm done. This is time. Mm-hmm. I'm divorcing her.
Mm-hmm.
She's left me. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. She walks through the forest and then cleans her feet.
Right.
And then dies and then covers herself in a pile of leaves and suffocates.
No. This is why it's confusing.
It falls apart.
No, and it also falls apart because why would he... If he was trying, but this is the problem too. If he's trying to frame this as she was taken out of the house and possibly sexually assaulted in the bushes by the house or mm-hmm. what have you, then he would be aware that his semen would be present on her body.
Right. So according to him, they didn't have sex that night. They had a huge fight about how they weren't having sex that night. Because she didn't want to have sex or put on a cute outfit, and then the father-in-law got involved.
So why would he be really smart about some things and really stupid about other things? Why would he be smart enough to throw everyone off the scent by filing for divorce?
What if he's dumb enough to file for divorce to get the life insurance policy because he knows she's dead and she's not coming back?
Why would you file for divorce if you're trying to get a life insurance policy? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't get the life insurance policy.
Or would get the girls because he thought the other family was coming for the girls and he wanted to be distanced as much as possible.
No, that wouldn't do any good.
If they got a divorce, would he get half of her money?
No. Alimony?
Yeah, because she makes more.
No, but not if she's dead. Divorce would only hurt him in the case that she's dead. It would hurt him, not help him. So see, why did he do that, but then leave his bodily fluid on her body when he placed her in the woods? What happened here? Did the dad do it? Is this Matthias? Was he like...
Matthias.
But okay, so do you see why I'm struggling with parts of this? I'm struggling with it. I want to hear more of the recordings, too. I want to hear all of it. I need to hear it because I need some sort of I need to know more about him to be able to understand how he was thinking in this murder. How did she die?
I don't know. Do you think his lawyer tried to get him to file because his lawyer was smart and was like, because he lawyered up immediately.
No, he lawyered up after she was found.
But he had already been considering having a divorce lawyer, right? If he filed for divorce, he had a lawyer.
He contacted the divorce attorney that night of the fight and then filed 2 days after that. Was like, she took off, I'm done.
And the lawyer, believing his story, said, well, then let's file for divorce papers. Because that will show that the lawyer's smart. And he's like, that'll show that she's gone, she left you, and you should have the kids. And he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Because I murdered her, and I know she's not coming back.
Okay,
it was the lawyer that was the smart one, but thinking that he was innocent, maybe, or sneaky, the lawyer being the smart one, or maybe the lawyer just believing his story and that she did leave, and you would maybe file for divorce if you were left.
Okay. All right, I can see that.
I mean, I have to believe a lawyer is smarter than him.
No, but I just can't. It's a weird... It's a
Although
very
we've seen
strange.
Some dumb lawyers.
And then I also really want to know how.
Yeah, that's weird.
I need to know how
she died.
There's
anyone out there who has any theories about.
There's something on his computer. I read one really quick thing about it, and then I couldn't find anything else. The part of the reason that they were able to arrest him is something they found on his computer, and I want to know what that is.
Like a Google search?
It was something, but I think also something on his computer could also be the recordings. The recordings are obviously all stored on his computer. So there's something that happened that they were able to actually arrest him on it. And so we're missing some information. That's all I'm saying. And I need to know. Inquiring minds need to know. Okay, yes. What do you have for B-roll, Bonanza?
The court reporter
is
talking into this thing that I've never seen before. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, she has a dictaphone?
No, okay. It's like a sleep apnea mask that like covers her whole mouth and is like suctioned to her face. Like she's a jet pilot in Top Gun. And
she's talking into it?
She's talking into it behind the lawyer. And so I asked online because someone was talking about it. And Bacardi Rose says it's a steno mask. A soundproof mask that connects to a speech-to-text stenograph that types the court transcripts. But it looks like she's like Darth Vader, like with the cord running down. It's really funny. It's really weird. And then I didn't really understand why the speech-to-text program wouldn't just pick up everything and then there's no need for a court stenographer. But Bacardi was saying that maybe it's because the program is only set to her voice specifically, and she's there so she can go back and read stuff back to the judge that has just been said.
But if it was... So what I'm guessing is she is speaking some kind of shorthand.
Maybe.
She's not probably saying it in full sentences. She's doing clips of words, and then it picks up on the clips of words.
Yes, like that's secretaries how would write in... Whatever
but that's how a stenographer works anyways. You're working on a specialized keyboard, right? That does certain clicks for certain words.
I see.
I don't know. My mom went to school to be a court stenographer for a hot minute. I have to ask her about it. I know it's so fascinating. I don't know why she didn't finish it. She didn't go through with it. She was a hippie. She was bouncing around.
I met a court stenographer once at a party and I like planted myself next to them.
Absolutely.
And I was like, tell me everything.
Yeah.
But I bet it's mostly boring cases, but sometimes you get a interesting one.
Well, it seems like a fascinating job. You have to, this is stupid. I was just going to say, you have to have a high level brain, but you do. You have to kind of be very intelligent. I'm assuming to be able to, you have to register very, very quickly a lot of information.
Absolutely.
And people talking over each other, objections and this and this, because you have to record everything that's happening. That's
absolutely
nuts.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Crazy town. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you, so obviously you didn't notice the woman in the blue shirt that said prayer, says something prayer. I couldn't read all the words. I was trying really hard, but she's on her phone behind everyone during the search party at all the pivotal moments. It's like there's Harriet on the screen and there's some lady.
She must be a cousin or she's the killer and she's planted herself at the scene. And she showed up to get some extra attention And she thought she'd stand out more, like when Kelly wore white to Phyllis's wedding on The Office.
Yeah. And why are you on your phone? She's on her phone.
She's like, I'm getting photographed right now. I'm on the video. Local news. Look at the local news. I'm going to be here.
Why are you
those people who are at every crime scene? They're like crime junkies, not the podcast crime junkies. Those are good people. But like people who assert themselves in every investigation because they need that sort of attention or validation or something. So they are, and they bug the police a lot and they have nothing to do with the case, but they act like they were super involved. Is she the 99 cent store lady?
No.
Runs a shelter at her house.
No.
People loved that story, by the way.
The 99 cent store?
They want an update every time you go.
It's the 99 cent store?
99 cent store chronicles with Katie.
Sometimes I walk out. I did last time I went. The lines were too long. I walked in and I said, no, not today. Not today, Satan. I went because they had new makeup at the checkout stand last time I went. They had a basket of like Maybelline and like nice drugstore makeup for a dollar in a basket. But as you're checking out, so what are you going to do? So then I'm trying to go through it as fast as I can. And I'm watching her ring and she's like ringing my stuff. And I'm like, oh no, go, go, go as fast as I could because there's people behind me.
Do you really need more makeup?
For a dollar? Absolutely, I can try this stuff now because I'm not going to pay $6 to try it, but I'll pay a dollar. So what I might need expert eyebrows, you don't know. And so then I'm going through it. And then the woman that's behind me in line, I like see a little shadow and she comes on the other side of me. And I'm like, I'm at checkout. I'm the one that gets to go through the basket. You back up. You wait your turn. And she like starts reaching in and grab. It's not a big basket. And she's reaching in and like trying to take. So I didn't get to see what she grabbed. And I'm like, why is this basket at checkout? Because I can't have my bags in my hand and be standing here still trying to go through makeup and go through the line again.
I would have popped my head in front of someone in line and said to the cashier, excuse me, can I take this and look through it? And then taken it to a quiet aisle by myself where no one else was around and dug through it and then got back in line.
I couldn't because I didn't know until the very end and I'm leaving the store.
Oh, I see.
It was at the very end of the trip.
Yeah.
And then she's there. So I can't take it because now her mitts are all over it. It's bad.
Grubby mitts.
Her grubby mitts ruining all my fancy, fancy makeup. Okay. And then, no, I didn't have any other. Nope. No more B-roll for me. That's the end.
I had really nothing else to say.
What about fashion police? I got a fashion police.
Go for it.
Did you notice that the first detective we meet is in a red button-down? And I wondered if that was because everyone wore red to her search party.
Oh, I did notice that.
I thought that was very sweet, if that's what he was doing.
I think he was driving, yeah.
That might be what he was doing. So.
That's really nice.
Did we have any brands unhappy with Dateline? Walmart.
Of course.
Surveillance cameras.
North Korea.
Well, their brand is already been severely
it's not
tarnished.
Great.
It's not so good.
They don't have the best PR. But
Georgia neighbors?
Yeah.
Because of Kathy?
Sure. Kathy ruined what I thought Southern hospitality was supposed to be.
I thought people would be nice.
Yeah. That's what Southern hospitality. Nope. What the heck?
Spa days.
Spa days are kind of ruined.
Did you have any precious moments?
I mean, I liked Harriet. And I liked the sister.
But you didn't like her enough to remember her name.
I feel bad that the daughters don't want to be associated with them because they've been brainwashed by their dad.
Okay.
In my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Hashtag truth.
Hashtag.
I.e. the truth.
Hashtag Kimberly's always right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying families are weird. You never know what's happening.
It's true. But come on, Harriet.
Yeah, I understand.
Who wouldn't want Harriet to be their grandma?
No, Harriet seems very sweet. I'm wondering if it's the sister. Who's the problem?
It could be the sister.
Who did she fight with? Who did Nikki fight with?
I thought no one because Dennis specifically says even after they moved out and she got married, they still made time for each other. And there's pictures of them hanging out with each other's children. And then he says they go to this spa day to spend time together. So I don't know who she didn't get along with. Hmm. And her coworkers seem to like her as well. And they thought she was sane. So unless the family's in total denial and he's the only one seeing the truth.
Yeah.
The daughter's testimony was super slim. The shoe throwing and the voices comment. And I think he could have painted this. He had them alone for 4 years after the murder.
Yeah.
He could have shaped things in a certain way.
You're right.
Again, in my opinion. So do you not think he did it, or do you think he did it?
Yeah, I think he did it because I don't know who else would do it.
Matthias.
But I think there is some, I want more information because I need a clearer story. I think Dateline did a good job in this episode, but I don't think that I have all the information I need to be able to be 100% like, yes, this is how it happened. There's a lot of questions on this one. I see what the defense attorney was trying to do, because that's what I would try to do if I was the defense attorney. What happened? No one can tell me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor can sort of talk about it, but her story didn't make sense. I was bummed. I wanted to hear her theory, and her theory didn't make sense if she was drugged.
Yeah.
And then there's no strangulation marks. Yeah, was she suffocated?
Well, could the marks have gone away because they said it was really damp and she was out there for a few days?
She was out there for a while, so the decomposition. Well, they said that it was really hot.
Yeah.
So the heat decomposition, there were things, but I don't know. I feel like maybe suffocation would be hard to tell because maybe the interior of her body, like, don't they normally check things like petechia and things like that for suffocation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your lungs. Sometimes there's, like, if you're suffocated by a pillow, I think there's, like, pillow fibers that are, like, in your throat or in your lungs.
But they didn't have any of that? We couldn't get any of that sampling?
We don't know who did the autopsy. Maybe they have a really shoddy, small department.
Yeah.
Because it's a safe area and there's not a lot of murders.
Maybe we should call them. Okay, what do you have for Twitter?
I don't have that much. Rayford512, I don't think my bank has as many cameras. But Cardi Rose, who gave me the information about the Steno thing, she used her boobs to move leaves. Wow, best Dateline ever. And
her boobs?
Mini Pot Roast wrote, boots.
Oh.
Boots.
Boots, sweetie, boots.
Dana Sand, 88. Damn, I can't believe they actually found Nikki. I wonder if I could get Allison to come to my house and look for my keys.
Aww.
The end table. Seeing that lovely mom go door to door, and now my eyes are all squishy.
Aww.
I know. And then lastly, mom in high heels said, what kind of a-hole calls the cops on someone passing out flyers for their missing family member? I hope that person gets constant bouts of explosive diarrhea for the rest of their miserable life.
Agreed.
Yeah. Same.
Agreed. Or like a rash. Like a rash.
Oh, like a boil, like, a rash that won't go away, but it's like under the skin and you can't get to it.
Really itchy rash. Yeah, I've had a rash that made me want to, like, just throw myself out a window before. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if it's like, feels like it's under the skin, like
the worst.
Deep under the, and you feel like you can't get to it. Okay. So once again, we're not doing mailbox because we've also run out of time.
Do you have one mailbox that you'd like to do that's really important?
Well, this, okay. Claire from Patreon says, as a special service to Katie, I need to tell you about eye drops that will turn your red eyes to blindingly Kris Jenner white.
What is it?
Lumify.
There we go.
It's Bausch & Lomb, so you can find it at Target. They are amazing, and people no longer think I've been on a 3-day bender.
Can you use it with contacts?
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. I would hope so. Brittany said, this kind of useful information is what makes a community special.
Yes, it is. I am so excited.
Thank you, Patreon.
Thank you, Patreon. And when I start my my side beauty podcast that right now is just going to be me alone spewing venom into the microphone about beauty products, I'll be talking about Lumify.
I love it.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, we missed one. Melanie Mansfield, we missed a big tweet. Prison Crocs. crock him up.
Oh, come on. Crock him up.
Yeah, instead of lock him up. Yeah, we kind of missed that.
Crocs, not Glocks.
Okay, but I said crocodile Glock.
You did. Never
mind. So we could have spun after that.
All right, everybody.
Don't watch alone. Watch with a billion cameras watching you, so then yeah, you're actually not alone.
Actually, watch alone. Please watch
it's
alone.
It's better to maybe watch
it's,
alone.
It's better to watch alone in this case.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Knights of Ni, we are but simple travelers who seek the enchanter who lives beyond these woods. We shall say Ni again to you if you do not appease us. Well, what is it you want? We want a shrubbery! A what?